Barnes has arrived.
Hi, everyone. I'm Roger Altman, and I have the privilege of introducing our next speaker. Just before I do, I want to echo what's been said before. I really think that the work that Michael Greenstone and Adam Looney did in connection with this short book, and as illuminated by our two panels, is really quite remarkable and very valuable, and it reminds me of that wonderful phrase that the late Senator Moynihan always used to use, and you can apply it to the debate about immigration reform and immigration policy, namely that you're entitled to your own opinions, but you're not entitled to your own facts. And I thought this morning's panel in this particular book illuminates some of the important facts. Having said that, I have the pleasure of introducing Melody Barnes. Melody is the President's Domestic Policy Advisor, and as such, she is Director of the Domestic Policy Council in the White House. She has a deep background in civil rights, in voting rights, in women's health, and in religious liberties, among other important social issues. During her early years in Washington, Melody served on the staff of the House Judiciary Committee, and following that, for 7 years, she served as chief counsel to the late Senator Kennedy, Ted Kennedy, on the Senate Judiciary Committee. She then moved to the Center for American Progress and served as executive vice president for policy, the chief policy position, until Barack Obama announced his presidential campaign, which she joined as the chief domestic policy advisor. And from there, of course, following the success of that campaign, she moved to the transition and then into the White House to her present position. I might also note that Melody proves that serving at a senior level in government does not necessarily ruin your life, because last year, she got married while serving in the administration in this capacity. So there is a life you can have in government. Now, immigration policy and immigration reform are among Melody's responsibilities in her work with the president. And I'm hopeful, I'm sure all of us are, following this very invigorating morning, that she'll give us a sense of when immigration reform legislation might get kick-started again. So I'd like to ask all of you to join me in welcoming Melody here and to thank her for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you so much, Roger, for that introduction. Coming in the hall, Roger said, "I found this fact that no one knows about you that will deeply embarrass you," and that's what I'm going to share with everyone. So thank you for not doing that. We'll just keep it between us. I can't tell you how pleased we are in the White House that you all are having this very constructive dialogue about immigration today. This is an issue that is integral to who we are and how we are perceived as Americans, and it's also critical to how we're going to chart our future and reassert ourselves as a nation of laws and a nation of immigrants. How we're going to chart our economic future within the boundaries of the law and the Constitution. We all know that the debate about immigration reform in recent years has been contentious. That may be one of the great understatements that you've heard this morning. But heated debates are not an excuse for inaction. We know that Republicans and Democrats can all agree that the immigration system is broken. It simply does not work. The status quo is unsustainable, whether we look at it from an economic perspective or as a matter of national security. That's why President Obama is fiercely, fiercely determined to stop kicking the can down the road and to get this moving. We have to fix our broken immigration system once and for all. This starts by finding common ground. No one would argue that it's unacceptable to have 11 million people in America illegally, living and working in the shadows, often exploited by unscrupulous employers, unavailable, unable to contribute fully to the communities they live in, and even unwilling to interact with the law enforcement officers we rely on to keep our communities safe. As the president has said, we have to be honest about the problem, and we have to move past the false debates that divide the country rather than bring it together. For too long, the debate over immigration has been dominated by those who, on the one hand, argue passionately for mass amnesty, or even say that we should ignore the laws on the books, and those on the other side who argue we should round up 11 million people, hold mass deportations. Neither one of those options is where the American people stand. The American people are compassionate and practical. And we know this because we've heard it. We've spoken to them, and they've spoken to us. They recognize that most immigrants are hardworking and have good intentions, but they understand that an indiscriminate approach that doesn't hold people accountable would be unwise and unfair. It would suggest to others who are considering coming here illegally that to do so, they would find no repercussions, while sending the wrong message to those waiting in line to come here legally. At the same time, the American people understand that it is not possible, it is not practical to deport 11 million people. Not only would it be wildly expensive, it would go against who we are as a nation and would take a tremendous toll on our country's economy at a time when we have to focus on the economic recovery. What the American people agree on is that every side has to be held accountable. Common sense, comprehensive immigration reform has to be grounded in the principles of accountability and responsibility. Responsibility from the federal government to secure our borders and provide a system that works so that employers can rely on a legal workforce. Responsibility from employers so that unscrupulous companies don't exploit undocumented workers and gain an unfair advantage over those who follow the rules. And responsibility from those who are here illegally so that they register, admit to having broken the law, pay a fine, pay back taxes, get right with the law, and learn English before they can get into the line to become citizens. Since President Obama walked into the White House, we've taken the federal government's responsibility very seriously. We've taken steps to make our enforcement system smarter and more effective, while also making our detention system more humane, providing more resources to the immigration courts, and encouraging naturalization of immigrants, including many in the military, as well as integration of legal immigrants into their communities. And I can tell you, having spoken at a naturalization ceremony at Ellis Island on the Friday before the 4th of July, 55 countries represented, all of those individuals wildly enthusiastic about becoming Americans, and the talents and the diversity of talent that they bring to this country, that's critical to our national and global success. We have dedicated an unprecedented amount of resources to the border as well. Today, there are more boots on the ground near the southwest border than any time in our nation's history. And as a result, we're seizing more illegal guns, cash, and drugs than in years past. Contrary to the rhetoric that many of us hear, statistics show that crime along the border is down. I'll repeat that. Crime along the border is down. The myths, the fantasies, the wild stories are not true. And statistics collected by the Customs and Border Protection reflect a significant reduction in the number of people trying to cross the border illegally. This administration has also stepped up enforcement against the worst workplace offenders. Since January 2009, DHS has audited more than 2,785 employers suspected of hiring illegal labor, compared to 500 audits in all of 2008, and has debarred more than 100 companies and 80 individuals and issued more than $6.4 million in fines. And we're improving E-Verify, a system that gives employers the tools they need, a reliable way to know whether or not they are hiring employees who are here legally. We have to do more. But in the end, the only way to truly fix our broken immigration system is through comprehensive reform. Only a 360-degree retooling of our immigration system will address our security needs and, as the conversation here today considered, strengthen our economy for the long term. So let me just take a minute to expand on that, the economic issues at hand. A steady stream of hardworking and talented immigrants has resulted in America having a younger workforce and a faster-growing economy than many of our competitors. In an increasingly interconnected world, immigrants have given us a powerful, powerful advantage in global competition. Simultaneously, you have the innovation and creativity of immigrants who are drawn to our shores to get a world-class education, only to find themselves pushed out of the door after they graduate. What a waste. What a ridiculous waste of talent. What a loss for our country. These are immigrants who start businesses, who break new ground, and who create new industries. Our economy needs all of these immigrants. So immigration reform just makes good common sense. It will encourage those high-skilled workers to move to and stay in the United States. These immigrants can help create demand for new goods and services, which employ thousands of American workers and help make our economy more dynamic. I mean, we can all think of the companies, the CEOs, the entrepreneurs, the innovators who have been doing that in America over time and in recent months and years. It's critical, that innovation, that growth, that energy, that fire, that's what has always made our economy great, that's what's made our country great, and that's what we have to build on. Second, reform will ensure that workers who are here illegally fully pay their share of taxes. According to the Congressional Budget Office, the bill that the Senate considered in 2006 would have increased both tax revenues and social spending. But tax revenues would have outpaced the spending. Taxes paid by immigrants could be an important part of government revenue in coming years and could help address some of the current fiscal challenges that we face. Let's not forget, in large part due to our foreign-born population today, the U.S. is having relatively more workers per retiree than most of our major trading partners. Bringing this significant part of our workforce out of the shadows of our economy will also help avoid a race to the bottom, where unscrupulous employers undercut legal protections for their workers and allow undocumented immigrants to get in a long line to become citizens. No longer will illegal immigrants be targeted by employers who choose to abuse the law for profit on the back of cheap labor. Third, from a security perspective, as immigrants who are here illegally register and undergo background checks, our law enforcement officials will be able to focus much more closely on those who don't and potentially pose the greatest threat. And finally, by increasing border security, improving technology of verification of legal status, and imposing stiffer penalties on employers who hire immigrants illegally, reform will help prevent a repeat situation where we have millions of immigrants living in the shadows once more. That's just common sense reform. Just 4 short years ago, a majority of Democrats and 11 Republicans, who are still in the Senate today, voted together to move forward on that type of reform. It's the type of legislation we need now and we can make happen if we move past the false debates, the stale debates, the desire for wedge issues, and start focusing on the long-term economic and social interests of our country. Ignoring these challenges may be good for the next election, but it is not good for our country. It does not help us build long-term prosperity. And that's why the president has instructed his team in the White House and his cabinet to work to pass comprehensive immigration reform. The president's cabinet and the White House officials, all of us, have worked very closely for more than a year and a half in constant communication with key stakeholders around the country and key members of Congress from both parties. We provided technical assistance to both Senator Schumer and Senator Graham as they've worked together, a Democrat and a Republican, to get a bill written. The president supports the bipartisan framework that they put out and they presented, and was pleased when Senate Democrats developed an outline of a bill along those same lines. Today, at this point, despite Senate Republicans' refusal to step up, as they have done in the past, to pass comprehensive immigration reform, to pass accountable immigration reform, he's as committed as he's ever been. The president wants to get this done. We were pleased when it appeared as though the Senate might debate and pass the DREAM Act just a week ago. We made our support known through letters from members of the cabinet and through communication by the President of the United States. It is a limited form of reform, but it is also important common sense reform, and it also serves our country and our economy well. As you know, the DREAM Act ensures that we are providing relief for kids who have lived in this country for years. Those who came here when they were 15 or younger, they've made valuable contributions to this country. They've lived here for about 5 years. We know that they want to go on and serve in our military or want to go on to college. They have good moral character. They want to be part of the fabric of American life. It just makes good common sense to allow these young people who spent most of their lives here, who call America their home, who want to continue to contribute, to be a part of our nation and to earn legal status. In fact, it makes so much common sense that a dozen members of the Senate's Republican caucus were once co-sponsors of this legislation, with 7 of those Republicans allowing the Senate to move to its full consideration in 2007. My, how have times changed? That's why we're so disappointed when a majority of the Senate was prepared to debate and vote on the DREAM Act, but a minority prevented us from crossing the 60-vote threshold to get that done. But this setback isn't the end. We know that Senator Durbin has reintroduced the DREAM Act and will also be working very closely with Senator Menendez, who has told us that he plans to introduce a comprehensive immigration reform bill in the very near future. And we want to work with him and other leaders in the Senate as we work vigilantly, diligently to get these bills passed and signed into law. The time has come and long past for comprehensive immigration reform. It's time to restore the accountability and responsibility that I was just talking about. Simply saying no is no longer an option for our country. So I want to thank you for being here today. I want to thank many of you in this room for working with us, working with the administration, pushing the Congress to try and get comprehensive immigration reform passed and signed into law, to get the DREAM Act signed and passed into law. I can tell you, I can promise you, that President Obama will not rest until those bills are on his desk and he is able to use his pen to sign them into law, to bring people out of the shadows, to ensure the prosperity, to ensure the moral character of our nation that is demanded of us. Thank you so much for being here, and please, please continue with your good work. Thank you.
Just before we conclude, just two or three more minutes, we were going to have Bill Richardson with us this morning, the governor of New Mexico, and President Obama is in New Mexico today, and Governor Richardson is with him, so Bill was kind enough to address us briefly by video, and we're going to show that now. I think everyone knows Bill Richardson's background, two-time governor of New Mexico, seven-time member of the House from New Mexico, ambassador to the United Nations, Secretary of Energy, very well known for his successful mediations internationally in hostage matters and other matters like that. So if you'll just bear with us a moment, we're going to just listen to Bill's remarks.